CBS and the world. I'm John Batchelor, and I go to Felix Leitz, CBS correspondent, reporter, observer in Moscow, looking to not only the European embassy of President Biden heading to Great Britain to meet with his allies and trading partners, but also the meeting in Switzerland, in Geneva, soon enough, in the middle of next week, with Vladimir Putin representing the Russian Federation, at odds with the G7, the EU, the UK, and there is NATO, depending upon the issue. However, I begin today with the expectation of the meeting between Mr. Biden and Mr. Putin. Felix, a very good day to you in Moscow. What is the expectation that is reasonable for this meeting between Mr. Putin and Mr. Biden? The first time Mr. Biden is a president, is a leader of a state, he's met Mr. Putin before. What is the expectation in Moscow for this meeting? Good day to you, Felix.
Good day. Good day. I'm very happy to be here. Well, on the one hand, it's almost a sort of a bit of a pro forma thing. A Russian president and a US president almost sort of have to meet, right? Trump famously met Putin in Helsinki, sort of in better times for the relationship. Of course, Obama, Medvedev, Putin were often sort of seeing each other both in Moscow and in America. But I think right now it's taken on a slightly different sort of resonance, let's say, just because relations between the side at the moment are so bad and sort of so dismal. You know, we've reached the point where the embassy in Moscow, you know, the American embassy, that is to say, just isn't functioning because there have been so many diplomatic expulsions. You know, we had the sort of killer remark from Biden. So I think things got to such a low that I think both sides, regardless of sort of neither having much love for the other, recognize that, you know, these are, if not any more, two superpowers, then certainly a couple of the most powerful countries in the world. And you do need a stable sort of strategic relationship between them, both for the good of the world and for the good of the two countries. So I think for the Russian side, they're probably keen to, on the one hand, they have their sort of ongoing agenda. So they have an agenda in Ukraine. They have an agenda in Belarus. They want to sort of preserve Russia's influence in these countries. But on the other hand, they also want to, you know, further those points, but they also just want to have a degree of predictability, I think. They don't want a sort of hot political, or heaven forfend, a military confrontation with, the US. And I think that's the sort of broad agenda that they'll be pushing for, to try and sort of stabilize relations. You know, they can be cold. Okay, fine. But they should at least be stable and unpredictable.
I report a news item in these last hours that does not look promising for this relationship. Russian President, this is Reuters, Russian President Vladimir Putin signed a law on Monday that formalizes Russia's exit from the Open Skies Arms Control Treaty, a pact that allows unarmed surveillance flights over member countries. The background on this is that the Trump administration had withdrawn from Open Skies, and Mr. Biden's administration has recently made the decision not to rejoin. So Putin is leaving Open Skies as well. These are gestures, I understand, Felix, but it does look as we're moving in a direction that is at least sentimentally attached to the Cold War. Is there that atmosphere in the Russian media that there's no trust between Moscow and Washington?
Well, that's absolutely correct. There is no trust between Moscow and Washington. I would say that the general, sort of consensus, let's say, in the Russian corridors of power would be that Russia is in a state of what you might call political warfare with America, with much of Europe. But that shouldn't be allowed to sort of enter, you know, into a sort of a hot, as I say, military confrontation. With regard to Open Skies, I would see that more as sort of face saving from the Russian side. As you said, it was an American impetus to actually leave Open Skies last summer, or a year ago now. And it was an American impetus again to announce that they would not rejoin it. So I think what was going on there was mostly sort of Putin essentially trying to sort of almost for like a PR move, to sort of appear as though he was making events and not reacting to them. In general, though, I think I agree with probably your assessment. this is not sort of Reagan and Gorbachev or George H.W. Bush and Gorbachev. There's no willingness, I think, or no interest, certainly from the Russian side, but I'd also suspect from the American side to enter into those kind of bargains that were done, you know, in that sort of brief window of warm relations. So I think, you know, expectations have to be sort of very realistic. And I think, as I said before, the maximum expectation here is sort of a return to a stable, predictable, but hostile relationship, I think.
What can go wrong and why, as the allies and trading partners meet in Cornwall? We have this news from Moscow. A Moscow court is expected within these hours to outlaw the organization founded by Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny, part of authorities' efforts to muzzle critics ahead of a crucial parliamentary election in September. This is an ABC News report. This looks significant is it connects to the Protasevich issue over Minsk. Both times, these detentions and persecutions of men who are seen as democracy activists have led to sanctions and sharp words. Do you expect, or is Moscow expecting, that to ameliorate either at Cornwall or in Geneva between the two presidents?
I certainly think personally that it will come up. I would say the issue here has always been that Moscow and the Kremlin do not concede the legitimacy of America almost having an opinion, or indeed of any foreigners having an opinion on the Navalny affair. From the perspective of the Russian government, the Navalny affair is strictly a domestic item, a domestic question, and indeed a criminal question. Those kind of definitions are extremely dubious, shall we say. But the Russian side does not see that America has a right to raise any objections or to frankly say anything about Alexei Navalny. And the fact that America, for perfectly good reasons, will be talking about Alexei Navalny, you know, and indeed Roman Protasevich, I do not think there is a realistic chance that this summit goes off without Joe Biden commenting on one or both. The fact that sort of America takes that position in, despite Russia's sort of stated position, is really, I think, the big factor that will stop any meaningful breakthrough here. The two sides are just too far apart on the sort of rights and wrongs of the Navalny issue, of the Belarus issue. And those factors are really baked in. It's hard to see how you could get around them, really, how you could sort of build trust.
NATO is watching all of this because it must move unanimously. There was a lot of contretemps over the Belarus issue, the air piracy, the Protasevich and his companion being imprisoned in some fashion and persecuted. However, is NATO a constant concern in Moscow, or is this a side lane for the larger story of Washington and Moscow? How does Moscow see NATO in proportion to everything else?
Well, I think Moscow doesn't especially it doesn't have a great deal of respect for these kind of, let's say, transnational institutions. When Moscow sees NATO, I think they see the hand of the United States. You see this in sort of their dealings with the European Union as well. Moscow would always rather go straight to Berlin than it would to Brussels. So I think in the same way, Putin and the Kremlin feel that if they have an issue with NATO, the way to solve it or the way to stabilize it is to go, in the first instance, of course, to Washington DC, hence this meeting with Biden. But also, just because you mentioned the sort of the contretemps within NATO, go to someone like Erdogan in Turkey, who is a NATO ally, a NATO member, but, has very strained relations with most of his allies and occasionally unpredictable, though generally positive relations with Russia. So I would say generally there's a lack of sort of respect, a lack of acknowledgement of these kind of institutions, in a sense that to achieve Russia's goals, one has to sort of go straight to national leaders. And I think that's what we'll see sort of in Geneva.
Felix Leit for CBS News in Moscow, the run up to the meeting between the two presidents. And I mentioned that they're meeting in Switzerland above Lake Geneva. And it reminded me immediately of Emperor Alexander I of Russia meeting Emperor Napoleon I of France on a barge in a river once upon a time, 214 years ago. That meeting between the Tsar and the Emperor led to more excitement. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.